Scripture reading this morning comes to us from the book of Numbers, chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. And then we pick the reading up at verse number 17 and take it through chapter 14, verse 9. Listen to the word of God. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Choose one of the leaders from each of the 12 tribes and send them out. And send them out as spies to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites." When Moses sent them out, he said to them, "Go north from here into the southern kingdom of the land of Canaan and then on into the hill country. Find out what kind of country it is, how many people live there and how strong they are. Find out whether the land is good or bad and whether the people live in open towns or in fortified cities. Find out whether the soil is fertile and whether the land is wooded, and be sure to bring back some of the fruit that grows there. It was the season when grapes were beginning to ripen." So the men went north and explored the land from the wilderness of Sin in the south all the way to Rehob near Hamath Pass in the north. They went first into the southern part of the land and came to Hebron, where the clans of Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, the descendants of a race of giants called the Anakim, lived. Hebron was founded 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. They came to Eshcol Valley, and there they cut off a branch which had a bunch of grapes on it so heavy that it took two men to carry it on a pole between them. They also brought back some pomegranates and figs. That place was named Eshcol Valley because of the bunch of grapes the Israelites cut off there. After exploring the land for 40 days, the spies returned to Moses, Aaron, and the whole community of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They reported what they had seen and shown them the fruit they had brought. They told Moses, "We explored the land and found it to be rich and fertile, and here is some of its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and their cities are very large and well fortified. Even worse, we saw the descendants of the giants there. Amalekites live in the southern part of the land. Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live by the Mediterranean Sea and all along the Jordan River." Caleb silenced the people who were complaining against Moses and said, "We should attack now and take the land. We are strong enough to conquer it." But the men who had gone with Caleb said, "No, we are not strong enough to attack them. The people there are more powerful than we are." So they spread a false report among the Israelites about the land they had explored. They said, "That land doesn't even produce enough to feed the people who live there. Everyone we saw was very tall, and we even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. We felt as small as grasshoppers, and that is how we must have looked to them." All night long, the people cried out in distress. They complained against Moses and Aaron and said, "It would have been better to die in Egypt or even here in the wilderness. Why is the Lord taking us into that land? We will be killed in battle, and our wives and children will be captured. Wouldn't it be better to be back in Egypt?" So they said to one another, "Let us choose another leader and go back to Egypt." Then Moses and Aaron bowed to the ground in front of all the people, and Joshua son of Nun and Caleb son of Jephunneh, two of the spies, tore their clothes in sorrow and said to the people, "The land we explored is an excellent land. If the Lord is pleased with us, He will take us there and give us that rich and fertile land. Do not rebel against the Lord and do not be afraid of the people who live there. We will conquer them easily. The Lord is with us and has defeated the gods who protected them. So do not be afraid." It seems God who inspired these words incline our hearts and our minds to their understanding. Pray with me. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There are two sermon series that are sort of blending together a bit this morning. as we first continue our Lenten series with its focus on wilderness that we introduced last week when we talked about that wilderness experience of Jesus that he was thrust into immediately after his baptism. And we thought together about how that wilderness was not unlike Aaron Ralston's experience in the film 127 Hours, where he found himself suddenly and unexpectedly, surprisingly and painfully pinned literally between a rock and a hard place in the wilds of the Canyonlands National Park in Utah. And we explored how when we find ourselves in our wildernesses, those chaotic, difficult times that we live in from time to time, it is critical for us, as it was for Aaron, to not lose it. To not lose our head, not lose our heart, and not lose our hope. And the second series that sort of blends into the mix today is a continuation of the Read Through the Bible in a Year series that we're doing this year, where you recall once a month or so, during the course of the year, I want to preach on a text that falls roughly on or near the Sunday of the first month in which we're reading and the schedule follows. So the two sermon series intersect a bit today because if you're reading through the Bible in a year with us, you know that the text that was just read for you is from the three chapters in the book of Numbers that are assigned to the reading for today. And they occur in the wilderness. Now, the book of Numbers gives lots of people fits, especially people like me who don't do numbers real well. Mostly, though, because the book is so titled because of the detailed account in the first 10 chapters or so, where the author tries to number the specific tribes of Israel and then organizes them as they begin their wanderings in the wilderness of Sinai after they left Egypt. And yes, the details in those early chapters are very repetitious and they get a little bit tedious after a while. But we need to remember too that the title of the book of Numbers in the Hebrew Bible is the word Bamidbar. And hopefully the root of that word should sound somewhat familiar to you because last week we talked about how Midbar is the Hebrew word for wilderness. Bamidbar means literally in the Hebrew, in the wilderness. And that's really, when you think about it, a more appropriate name for this particular book in the Bible that deals largely with Israel's 40-year sojourn in the wilderness. And even though that first part of the book deals with all of these detailed accounts, there are really some great stories in the book of Numbers, like the one that's before us today, that describes the people's movement and activity en route to Canaan, that land flowing with milk and honey that God was leading to. Bamidbar, in the wilderness, that's where God's people, in chapter 13 and 14 of the book of Numbers, but more specifically, all throughout Scripture, are found. And here, in this particular story, there is an oasis in the wilderness called Kadesh Barnea, which is where Israel is encamped, the setting of our story for today, which is about 100 miles southwest of Canaan. Now, according to the story, Moses, under order from God, sends some spies, 12 to be exact, into Canaan to check it out, to see if the land is able to be conquered. And more importantly, to see if the provisions of the land are great and wonderful, the land is fertile, and he amazingly requests that his produce scouts, if you will, bring back some samples for him to see exactly what the land is really like. Well, 40 days later, the men return to report to Moses at Kadesh Barnea, and I think that maybe when the 12 spies return, this may have been a little bit like what that exchange looked like. Guys, how are you? Hey, welcome back.
Morning.
How are you?
Look at the size of that pomegranate.
It's as big as my head. these were as big as you were?
The people were huge.
The people were big.
Giants.
Well, listen, I'm a big guy, and you, did I hear the word grasshopper here?
Yeah.
Were there grasshoppers there?
Yeah, they were bigger than you.
Grasshoppers were bigger than me.
Yeah, and these were about our size, and grasshoppers were about 20 of your size.
Now, listen, you've had a tendency to exaggerate before.
I'm not exaggerating.
She's telling the truth. Look at the size of your grace.
Now,
I don't know.
I think there's enough food there to feed everybody, and maybe that would make us strong enough to be able to conquer the land and live the way God wants us to. I mean, it is a land flowing with milk and honey. Clearly, look at all of this food. Was there milk there too?
Lots of milk.
Was there milk there?
Yeah.
And who did that? Was there chocolate milk there?
Yeah, it comes from Brown House.
Into one. Are you drunk? Honestly.
Grapes. It's the grapes.
The grapes can mess you up in a lot of the well, I'll tell you what, I'm gonna hold on to some of this fruit here for a while. And I want you to take the grapes. Now wait a minute. I think Israel, who's still wandering out there in the oasis, I think they're gonna want some of this fruit. So why don't you just take that back there and you share that with some of the guys out there on the Kadesh Barnea Oasis,
right.
And see what they say about all of this stuff. And you better not tell too many stories about these giants and how they make you feel like grasshoppers, okay? You better not spread that kind of stuff around because
this is the
promised land, and we want them to know the truth. So please share freely, eat freely, enjoy. Would you take us out there?
I'm not going back either.
Alright, I get that point. I'm going to go pray and talk to some people back here, and we'll take this up on a later date. Okay?
So you need to do a lot of praying.
I get that. So go share the food and enjoy the feast. And yeah, thank you for that report. I appreciate it. Well, some of the spies, of course, leave, and Caleb, who is sort of the confidence man, if you will, I imagine lingered behind a bit and expressed overwhelming confidence in Israel's ability to not only enter the land, but conquer the alleged giants. In verse 30, Caleb puts it about as clear as anyone can. He says, "We should attack now and take the land. We are strong enough to conquer it." The other spies, of course, didn't buy that. They didn't buy into Caleb's confidence in God. They were too afraid. And in fact, they were suffering from what Gary Hindman calls the grasshopper complex. It is that dreaded disease that kicks in when fear wins the day. Those terrible and terrifying moments when all around us seems to be one giant problem. And I imagine that Aaron Ralston in the film 127 Hours had a moment or two when he was suffering from the grasshopper complex as well. You remember from last week when we showed the clip of the early part of the movie where Aaron is out hiking in the desert canyon lands and he runs into a couple girls that he ends up swimming with and has a great time with, and then he sends them on their way, and then he hikes solo in the canyon, and he ends up grabbing a rock going down into this crevice, and the rock pulls loose, and he falls down the crevice, and the rock jams his arm up against the side of the crevice and traps him there. And I imagine that this scene that you're about to see, well, I think it was at that moment that Aaron Ralston also had a bout of the grasshopper complex. Watch this clip. Feeling pretty small in the midst of that amazing desert wasteland. The grasshopper complex. It's when we buy into the perception that our problems are insurmountable. It's when fear wins the day and hope is lost and we walk away defeated by the perceptions of others and ourselves. It's when our self-esteem is woefully lacking and we seem to be and feel like grasshoppers in a giant world. It's when, for any number of reasons, we are lacking Caleb's confidence. We are strong enough to conquer, Caleb said. But the spies in the story from the book of Numbers didn't buy it. So sick with the grasshopper complex were they. So they told the people of Israel a bunch of lies. They said, hey folks, you know, Canaan ain't all it's cracked up to be or cut out to be, they said. There are people starving all over the place because there's nothing good to eat there. There's no fruit. All the grapes on the vines have shriveled from some kind of fungus or something. There's no milk. And even though there may be honey, the bees were huge and they scared us. And besides all that, the inhabitants of the land are like giants. They are so big, they made us feel like grasshoppers. And if we were to attack them, we would be wiped out. And the people bought it. And they got all angry at Aaron and Moses again, and they thought that they would do better with some different leaders. So someone in the crowd, no doubt, would have said, well, you know what, let's get Shemua to lead us, or maybe Hoshea, or Palti, or Nabi. They're good folks. They could be captains and lead us back to Egypt, where we know at least we'll get 3 square meals a day and plenty of water, and we'll be able to sleep on a cot at night. It's better back in Egypt where we were slaves. But when Caleb and Joshua, who was, by the way, the only other of the 12 spies who sided with Caleb, the two of them were the confidence men, and when they heard about all these rumors that the other spies were spreading around, they wanted to set things right with Israel. So they went to the people and they said, look folks, the land is an excellent land. The ground is rich and fertile, and these guys who are feeding you a pack of lies have probably also fed themselves on the grapes and the figs we brought back. Grapes that were as big as Moses' head. It truly is a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord has said. And if the Lord wants us to have it, don't you think He will take us in there and give it to us? Just as He's given us so much out here in the wilderness. He'll help us prevail. Remember, folks, all things are possible with God. So do not rebel, said Caleb, against the Lord. And do not be afraid of the people who live there. We will conquer them easily. The Lord is with us. Do not be afraid. As big as the people are, we can handle it. We can conquer. We are not grasshoppers. See, folks, most of the book of Numbers tells us the story of Israel was truly in the wilderness. And it portrays Israel there in their wanderings as a bunch of murmuring marginal misfits who are constantly bellyaching. The people are pictured as faithless, rebellious, and blind to God's love and care and miraculous provisions. But infused between the lines of this story is this Caleb confidence. Is this assurance that God is mighty and benevolent. And in fact, infused in the whole story of salvation history, which we call the Bible, is this absolute and sure conviction that God is miraculously guiding and sustaining and loving His people so that they might know their need to be totally dependent on Him. You know, we've talked about this before here. But people say to me, and maybe you're one of those people who said this, people say to me all the time, well, God never gives us more than we can handle. And I say that that is one of the biggest lies in the world. And it's certainly not biblical. I mean, you see God's people all the time dealing with more than they can handle. And a lot of the more that we can handle doesn't come from God. It all doesn't come from God. God does not hurt us. But because of our human condition, we are in situations where it seems unsurmountably difficult at times. We have all that we can handle all the time. Why? I believe it's so that we will turn to God and own what Caleb said. That the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid. We are not grasshoppers. And I would bet that if Office Max or Staples or Liverpool Litho was around back in 1200 BC, I would bet that Caleb and Joshua would have pitched in some money and would gone and had little stickers made that had no grasshoppers printed out like this. And I bet that they would have gone all over the nation of Israel and said, "We are not grasshoppers," and stick these stickers on people. "We are not grasshoppers. Where is your confidence in our loving God? We are not grasshoppers. Do not be afraid." Many of us, we talked about last week, are either in the wilderness, just coming out of the wilderness, or just going into the wilderness. And we are facing giants of all kinds. There are giant problems. Maybe there are giant people in your life, and giant for a lot of different ways. Maybe you have giant dreams or giant hopes. Maybe you have giant health issues. But so often, we allow our anxiety and our self-doubt or the size of the obstacle or the differentness of the experience or the allure of a rumor or some kind of an excuse inhibit us from taking action and tackling those giants in our lives head on. And we've all, every single one of us, had times when we have been very much like Moses' reconnaissance men and have felt as small as grasshoppers. And fearful of what is ahead or what is around us. And when that happens, I pray that we would own Caleb's confidence and wear the sticker that every one of you is going to get when you leave the sanctuary today. That you will wear this sticker and you will own the fact that we are not grasshoppers. We were created in the image of God. And everywhere I look in Scripture, I don't see grasshopper as an image of God anywhere. There are no grasshoppers in the kingdom of heaven. God's people are not grasshoppers. So we've experienced death and despair and the loneliness that comes with it from time to time. We are not grasshoppers. We have deadlines to meet, and they are many, and we have such little amount of time. We are not grasshoppers. There are too many poor people for me to ever be of any significant help to their numbers. We are not grasshoppers. Try out for the musical, the play, speak in front of the congregation, tell my story, pray out loud with real words from the pulpit, like Pastor Bob. Make a difficult marriage joyous and healthy and fulfilling. Impossible. We are not grasshoppers. Help the church budget keep balance. Help pay for the parking lot to be redone. Raise significant dollars for a capital campaign. Come on, pal. Don't you know I have my own financial priorities and the economy is still tanked and that we are just a small church? Don't you know we are not grasshoppers? I'm in too deep. I'm out too far. I am too far gone to be of any use to anyone. You are not a grasshopper. You face heart surgery, cataract surgery, an outpatient test. You need stitches and you hate needles. You need counseling. You are not a grasshopper. You have to confront a rebellious relative, break out of a sinful relationship. You are not a grasshopper. My friends, we face giant projects and problems all the time. But we are God's people by the gift of faith given to us from Him. We are God's people with pain, with promise, with hope, and with victory in our grasp. Because we are God's people and He is with us. And we are not grasshoppers. Wear it with pride and own it. We are not grasshoppers. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Almighty God, bless this simple witness given in your name. Amen.